Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Fabelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
I ain't no puta, I keep my panties clean.
Hello, hello, hello.
Ciao, 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 ciao.
Ciao, doesn't that mean bye?
Bitch, I'm trying to change it every episode. I couldn't come up with anything new.
Girl, that was not good. Let me just tell you. You're like, hello, goodbye.
Ciao is like aloha. Like, aloha is bye and hi. Is it? Yes, it is.
Lies a feather, stiff as a board. Lies a feather, stiff as a board.
Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, we have one of our favorite guests back on the show for the second time. Back like titties on them. And, That was so loud. It's okay. We have Lance Smith here, and you might remember him from the Orlando episode where we did a tribute to our brothers and sisters that were murdered in the tragic the Pulse nightclub shooting. So thank you for coming back, Lance. We really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. I'm always happy to be here.
All right. So one of the reasons we're having Lance back is because we talked about one of his art projects that was defaced during that episode. We kind of had to cut it out because we spent a lot of time on it, and we wanted to give it its own episode. Yeah, so that's why we're here today. What are we eating today, guys?
Sandwiches.
We're back to eating sandwiches.
Man, this is the second time
we eat. Well, we love sandwiches.
You love sandwiches.
I do. And this time they're really good. They're on rye bread. You know it's fancy when that shit is marbled, okay?
Yeah, and toasted.
Oh.
and not lightly toasted. It's
hella dark.
So I don't know what's in it. I just know you said there was bacon, and I'm like, okay, that's all I need to know.
It's one of these artisanal sandwich places that just like puts a bunch of shit on the sandwich. All I saw was they had these big chunks of like pork belly bacon. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want that. I went in there and I was like,
I want that.
So I was like, I want whatever that is. What sandwich has that in it? And they're like, the BLT, whatever. And I was like, okay, cool.
Pork belly. Oh,
It's so good.
Yeah. My sandwich is really good, but pumpernickel, I never understood.
What?
The flavor, what's in it, or why is it called like that? So so I always avoid it. But no, it's working over here because it just has a little bit of it.
A little extra spice.
How do white people say spread?
Spread?
No, there's like a fancy Italian word for it.
Tapenade.
Okay. This is how this tastes like.
It's the tapenade
on top of tapenade. It's so awesome.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's really good. What kind of sandwich did you get, Lance?
I got a Reuben. I kept it safe.
Okay.
all the extra shit I'm so cool on right now.
Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about your art piece today. And so just a little background on Lance. Lance and I went to art school together, and we kind of mentioned this at the beginning. Or on the other episode, Lance is also, so he's a painter mostly, and he was commissioned by Clark County here in Las Vegas, is in the greater Clark County area, and they have a really great public art program. Shout out to the county for that, because they are giving a lot of artists really amazing opportunities with their new public art program. And Lance was selected to be one of the artists, many artists that were part of the ZAP program. And you go to many cities and you see this kind of programming where they let artists kind of take over a utility box and they paint murals on them. Lance got the opportunity to paint a mural really close to the university on Maryland Parkway here in Las Vegas, which is a main thoroughfare. And a lot of people would call that area Midtown, kind of the university area. And for a lot of us, it's the main street, right?
Yeah, it's like a hub.
We
all kind of came from there one way or another, whether it's from UNLV or living in, you know, the housing that we could afford at the time.
Right.
So, yeah, Maryland Parkway is like extremely important to kind of the origin stories of a lot of Las Vegas artists.
Yeah, so I thought, like such a diverse part of town.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very diverse. You get to see, you know, everything, all kinds of colors and patterns and kind of craziness. You know, sometimes it kind of feels like Venice Beach, but
right. I kind of enjoy Oh
that.
My God,
that's
I never thought of it.
It's crazy.
Think of all the crazies on. Oh, that's a problematic word.
Problematic.
Sorry.
Problematic.
sorry. Beep, beep. Think of all the unstable people on Venice Beach, and that is Maryland Parkway. Like, there's, you know, tourists, there's university students, right? And then there's. You got your local color walking around.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. It's really just, you know, the people that, you know, the cabbies accidentally dropped them off at the TJ Maxx.
Oh,
right next to the hecklers, you know, asking for change outside. You know, right next to, you know, a pretty normal family just trying to get their groceries. So it's a great mix.
It's a great mix, and so you see a lot of people of color out there, which is also beautiful.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very dense in people of color of all kinds. You know, brown, black. Yellow, you get to see everything. There's a lot of markets, you know, like Asian markets and you know, Mexican markets, all kinds of things.
That was our place. There was a El Pueblito, I think it was called, the market over there in Maryland Parkway, and that was our home when we first moved to Vegas. That was the safe place for us to find all kinds of amazing food that we couldn't find anywhere else in Las Vegas. Of course, Las Vegas has changed a lot. You see these types of markets everywhere, but it was in Maryland Parkway. I completely have forgotten about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Lance has this really great spot near Maryland Parkway and Flamingo.
Yes.
And Flamingo Road. We name our streets after casinos here in Las Vegas because the casinos actually existed before there were streets. Mm-hmm. So that's how we come up with the street names a lot of the times. You decided to paint one box with a bird on it, I remember. And then one box has
succulents,
like plants on them. And then the one in the very front and center there has a figure on it. And it is a black figure.
Absolutely.
Very. And a hooded black figure wearing blue. Very reminiscent to me of, you know, a holy sculpture, a saint,
a virgen,
yeah. Right? So, so automatically when I see it, I see something powerful, something religious, something to be respected,
reverence,
mm-hmm. right? And she's kind of holding her hand out and kind of, to me, it was like her hand kind of just like, showing you that she's taking care of you.
Yeah, it's a connection to the community. Absolutely. Yeah. That, you know, the hand out, you know, even if it's, you know, anyone could ever just put their hand up against it, like it's really just meant to be like an affirmation that this representational being is here, you know, to protect.
Yeah. So when you originally did it, you did have a little bit of conflict or a little pushback from a business owner that was really close to...
Yeah, it's really close to the boxes I was working on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was pretty run-of-the-mill at first.
Right.
But then afterwards, there were a few kind of confrontations that made it very evident that that type of imagery was not specifically what that business owner wanted in front of their business.
Their white business owner.
Yes, a white business owner decided that it would be okay for him to come to me and express his... disdain, one, for, I guess, the religious aspect, and also the fact that the figures were people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Very blatantly, he told me that he was not racist.
Okay.
... which means usually...
You are.
When they say, but...
I'm not racist, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean this to be rude, but yeah.
Okay.
So... And says that he feels that black faces would be bad for his business.
Damn.
Oh, my God. Okay, so he said black faces are bad for business.
Yes, I'm not a racist, but I have to tell you that black faces are bad for business. And, you know, it's reminiscent of all so many kind of racial things that are going on in this country from past and present. But I'm not even going to act like I was surprised. You know what
sure.
I mean? Like,
okay.
Which is
yeah.
a
you know what I mean? Like,
thing,
like
you know?
It's you know, it's you know, that was one of the first big projects I did outside of the little hiatus I took, and it was like, okay, well, I guess I got to deal with this because at the time my focus on was just getting it done. You know?
Yeah. So that happened, and okay, we were kind of like a little bit worried. Then it got vandalized the first time, right?
Yeah, there were multiple vandalized. A couple people had scratched the faces, X's on the faces. a few stickers, you know, just kind of things to mainly just cover the faces. Whatever the kind of vandalisms were specific to just
to the face, right?
To the face.
Yeah, yeah, I remember seeing the rest of the landscape because it was the in the center of the piece, you see the shape of the Madonna in blue, and you see the face, and in the background there will be a landscape, and then the rest of the box also will have the landscape. None of that seemed to
never
be disturbed
touched,
except for the actual face.
Yes.
And it's very interesting because out of all the iconography you get to offer, because there's a sense of this superhero Madonna that add to the piece, and we're going to have the pictures of the piece in our link. So this is a good opportunity to talk about the website, because you can go to the website, click on that, and you can actually see what we're talking about. So
yeah,
you can see the piece on the links. But it's very telling for the guy what he said. It's like, you bring all this iconography, you bring all this art, you bring all these layers onto the piece. Mm-hmm. Yet for him, the only thing you got to offer was a black face.
Yeah.
Which is something that happens with a lot of artists of color, with people, profession of color. Somehow we are relegated to that. So, okay. So I'm sorry, we're not ready for Latin American art today. It's like, this is not the only thing I have to offer, you know? Like, we're professionals and we can do so many more things.
Yeah, I think it's because most of the time for people of color, we are seen, and I guess for a lot of people, meant to kind of be a monolith or to be the person that speaks for our entire race. Like, a lot of other artists that are not color don't have that kind of thing. They're never seen as, oh, well, you happen to be this, so all of your work is, you know, has to be autobiographical, or it has to be about some kind of pain or some kind of
which
trauma.
We talked about it before.
You know, it's never anything beyond that. So, you know, it could have been that he saw these faces beyond, you know, his obvious prejudice. And it's like, you know, he may have been like, why do you want to bring your quote-unquote black baggage to this space? But again, not excusing
it. When people are confronted
about injustice,
about race or injustice, it makes them uncomfortable. And, we're so sorry. But we wake up every day thinking about that because one of us has been shot or one of us has been deported or, you know, like it's something that we constantly are thinking about. And for you to be reminded, and for a white person to be reminded of that, you know, that they can't take it, right?
No. Correct.
We're not saying that this business owner started scratching the faces. This is just what happened, okay?
Yeah, he made a very public complaint with Clark County after these things were said.
He went to the city, no?
Oh, yeah. He absolutely went to the county in regards to the content and wanted it changed.
Okay, so before that, though, you did you go fix the piece? When it was X'd out?
Yeah, the first time it was X'd out, I went through, sanded it, and just went back in. And yeah, I would go back and just fix everything, you know, making no big issue because, again, it's public artwork.
There are things that happen,
so that's a part of the things that you're meant to.
Yeah, given the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, and this whole time that this was happening, you know, our art scene in Las Vegas, it's not that huge, right? And to me, this was a story, and I made sure that people knew. Lance and I would post on social media, this is what's happening to his piece, over and over again. None of the art writers in town touched it, right?
No.
Why? Well, because most of the art writers in town are white. And it's hard for them to touch that because it's a touchy subject.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because other stuff had happened to other public work in town, and it had been written about, right?
Absolutely.
And I thought, well, here's a real story. This is something that's really affecting the community, and nobody touched it. But then, fast forward a couple months, right? One morning, somebody came up on the piece, and the whole thing was painted over in this, like, tan color.
Yeah, I got a first email and then a text from Mike Ogilvy, who works for the county. Again, he's great, that the boxes had been completely painted over. And at first it was like, okay, we need to figure it out. Because again, all of these boxes are owned by either the power company or the water company. So not to go too far into it, but there are clauses that say that if there needs to be maintenance, or, you know, your mural can be decommissioned.
Yeah.
Again, a part of public artwork.
Sure.
But after said investigation was put through, All the parties involved, specifically the water company, said they had nothing to do with the box being touched.
So this is when people started speculating, who did this? Mm-hmm. Who covered up the murals? And this is what we're talking about today. Literal cultural erasure, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to erase us, right?
Yeah. Yes.
With anything, be it cultural appropriation mm-hmm. or literally wiping us away.
Yes.
And this, when this happened to me, I'm saying to me, when this happened to you, I felt it happen to all of us.
Yeah.
I felt a personal attack.
I was furious.
We were all pissed and we're like, we're going to figure out what the hell happened. That's when the newspapers and everybody started actually paying attention. It took a person of color.
Yes, Ed Fuentes.
Mr. Ed Fuentes from mm-hmm. Paint This Desert. Check out paintthisdesert.com. He writes about all this public art in Las Vegas and LA.
Los Angeles, yeah.
Yeah. He wrote about it on his blog, and that's what prompted all the other papers in town to actually pay attention. So yes. Big shout out to Ed, because like I said, it's so important to have people of color working for the media, because mm-hmm. they're the ones that are paying attention to this kind of stuff.
And we'll touch the things that others, aka our white brethren, see as untouchable,
right,
or uncomfortable,
right? And then still we were like, well, you know, let's not blame the business owner. This could have been something weird that happened. And then the Las Vegas Review Journal, which is our main newspaper in town, mm-hmm. interviewed the man, and I just want to read a few of the quotes.
Have you? They're gagworthy.
Girl, shit. I'm going to give you a taste, because
I'm not kidding. I haven't
read
it.
We're going to put the link to the article so you could read it. So this is just a couple. Oh my gosh! Here's just a couple of the things the man said. Okay, in referencing to the murals, right, which are about 15 feet away from his business.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I asked them nicely if they would change the design and not make all three figures black. Klein said of the work before it was completed in 2015, I asked if they could maybe make one of the figures white and another Asian or something like that.
Lie.
Okay. So that's what he said. So then he says, this is the next quote.
Uh-huh.
What if somebody was coming by here, thinking of coming to my store, and they had a bad experience with blacks before? Like, they had been mugged or raped by a black person, Klein said. If they saw that picture, they would just drive right by.
No mames.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know what?
Yeah, the first time
this
I read
insane.
That.
This is insane.
That's all I'm going to read. That's, yeah. that's all
he needs.
That's all I'm going to read. That's all I had to read to mm-hmm. know, okay. Like, it's
idiota.
Guilty. Yeah. He's guilty of for A,
everything,
being a racist,
mm-hmm.
and B, who cares? Like, that's all I need. Like, holy shit.
Mother. Yeah, the first time I read this, I called my boyfriend into the other room. I was like, babe, is this real? Like, for me, considering that there was a lot of attention toward him and his business, specifically with Chris G.,
yeah,
who
our county commissioner
who took no time in going to his business and asking him directly if he did it.
Yeah,
but yeah, it just made no sense that he would put himself out there like that, knowing good and well everyone is looking to figure out what had happened to it.
That goes to tell you that he's never had to think about those things.
No,
that goes to tell you that he's never had to make sense of this and his relationship as a white person and a white mm-hmm. business owner with the rest of the community. And his vision just went through. Like, this is what happens. Like,
yeah.
he wasn't even thinking about being racist, and it just came out because that's mm-hmm. not truly what he is. That is insane that he cannot see that. Or I wondered if other people were supporting him and helping him throughout this whole thing.
This is what happens when you're surrounded by people that don't say anything to you,
true.
Don't check you,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or that believe the same thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is because, oh my gosh, it's so upsetting. But okay, so, all right. So then the county took this into account. The people
yes.
That run the art program said, you know what? We're not gonna let this guy win or whoever painted over the boxes, right? Because even if it wasn't him, it's somebody that didn't like the imagery because they didn't paint over the box that had the bird on it. You know what I mean?
No, it's out of the over 10 years, I want to say that the Zap Project's been going on. From all accounts, it was the very first time one of the boxes had been completely painted over. Not just defaced, but one of the first time.
Completely erased.
Painted over, erased.
With beige, right?
But you know, but the color specifically was an attempt to make it seem as if it was done by, you know, a higher authority. That's the more devious thing. That it was
that Las Vegas tan that's on all the stucco.
Yeah. But you know, there are always technicalities, you know, specifically with all of these power boxes, there are tags on these things.
Yeah.
And the devil's in the details. And they didn't take the time to cover those things. You could see that, this was a rush job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just, you know, any kind of investigation into this made it extremely obvious that it was not the power company.
Yeah. I'm going to give a shout out to the county because not all white people are bad, right?
No. You want to know what? Look at this. I will say this. Chris G is like a bulldog. Like, she went into that man's business and looked him in his face and said, "Why did you paint over this?"
Yes.
And she told him that you will not get away with this. And she was very supportive. She called me multiple times to make sure I was okay even before and after. So, you know, between Mike Ogilvy and Patrick Gaffey again.
Yes. Shout out to those two men because they...
Come on.
They are doing so much for the community and programming so many amazing things.
Absolutely.
And heading the public art program. And when they heard about this, they said, no problem.
Yep.
We're going to get Lance and we're going to get him to repaint the exact same thing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right on top of that painted, on top of that erased box, just to make the statement that the county is behind the artwork. And, you know, this is county stuff. Like, there was multiple meetings, you know. The opinions of the business owners in the area could have been said in all of these town hall meetings that happened before. So there was opportunities, right, to talk about the design and what was so that's not an excuse anymore. Also, the other gag is that the actual owner of the shopping center is really embarrassed about this because
very much so.
This makes their shopping center look bad.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Because the guy's just leasing the building that's there.
Yeah, so
que lo corran.
Just to say, this thing kind of is, it's put him in a very peculiar situation. And I think for him, regardless of how he feels for here until, you know, he hits the grave, now he'll know that it's not okay to do certain things. You know, if you don't like something, you don't have the liberty to destroy it. And so, you know, again, I have to thank the arts community here in Las Vegas for always having my back in this whole situation. It was really eye-opening just to have all the support that I had. And I don't think that guy really even understood that, you know, I would have all this support I had, you know?
So I want to know what happened. So you went back there and painted it? Were you there by yourself?
No.
Or what happened?
So it took a little while, you know, semantics, paperwork. Afterwards, I was put back out on the field after the county had taken off as much of the paint as they could. I went back out there to start to work. But again, Clark County having my back, they sent me out with a very fantastic gentleman named Brett Bradley. He was there with me the entire time just to be a buffer, just to make sure if anything went down, there was always a witness. So
at any moment, was there fear while you went back and repainted? Or you were just determined and never crossed your mind?
I don't know about fear. There was a little worry. Because by that time, I was fully aware of the repercussions that his comments had had on his business. And regardless of whoever it is, it's, you know, your livelihood.
Yeah.
You know, and people have been hurt for less than, you know, less than this. So, yeah, there was a little bit of precaution there. But for me, this piece became something bigger than me. It had nothing to do with my ego or even my feelings, because I knew that it was so much more important for other people to see it put back in place, you know?
Yeah.
So even though it was very hot, you know, Vegas summers up to 110, 105, oof, you know, even getting up as early as you can, yeah, you know, but it was very important for me to write this injustice. I learned a lot about myself and what it's like to be an artist of color who faces injustice.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that, I'm not glad what happened, but I'm glad that you could be the vehicle to start a conversation about mm-hmm. race in this city, in the yeah. arts that has never been present here before. And it is important to mm-hmm. talk about these things. It sucks the way that we started this conversation, you know, yeah. but I'm glad that it's now part of the conversation. It's on the table yeah. now because it's absolutely necessary. It's mm-hmm. so necessary because we tend to romanticize certain things about the city, mm-hmm. completely glaring and ignoring everything else. So, yeah. yes.
This experience, and you know, Lance and I are very close, so mm-hmm. I would talk to you every day while mm-hmm. you were doing it, and sometimes we kind of had to talk through some things mm-hmm. because as a person of color, especially mm-hmm. you as a black man,
yes,
or as a I was just gonna say black person,
hey baby, I'm a larger black man. That's what you see when you walk by.
Well, yeah. sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I wear a few hats. But yeah, you're right. As a larger black man, that was something that I had to take into account. Again, I don't know if anyone listening can attest to this, but I'm reaching out to you because I know what it's like to have something wrong done to you and you have to shut up.
Yeah.
You want to know what? You can't say anything. Even if you have been done wrong, you have to do it in stride. You have to show some kind of grace. Mm-hmm. You have to show poise, which, again, is not always my strong suit, let's be honest. But I had to, because what would happen if I rose my voice? What happens? You're the angry black guy.
Yep. Correct.
And then all of your validity, everything you're going through, whether it was right or wrong, it gets thrown out of the window. So yeah, there was a lot of times where I was extremely frustrated.
And you should have been frustrated. But in a different circumstance, uh-huh. yes, you should have been able to yell, to mm-hmm. be angry, but you had to hold all of that in.
You mm-hmm. do, because it's mandatory for quote unquote them, sorry, white people, to hear you. Because the things that happen mm-hmm. to us are completely fucking irrational. Excuse my French. Not really.
No. You're fine.
It's irrational. And oftentimes, they're given the luxury to live a life that is rational in most ways, you know, outside of, you know, some of the
but
crazy things.
But they establish the parameters of rationality, absolutely. Which is what drives me crazy.
Yes.
You know, and so again, yes. it was, again, one of the first times I really had to look myself in the mirror and go, well, are you going to go about this one way or the other way? And I'm just extremely grateful that, you know, my ancestor, whoever's watching over me, put me right in the direction of just really just trying to be calm and just getting the work done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that happens in a lot of other spaces. I remember the first time I presented in this big, like the most important art and art history conference, I was told, you gotta dress up, and this is what you have to wear, and you gotta cut your crazy, like, chinos, you know, your crazy curly hair and this and that. You need to be careful when you present, not to do this, not to do that, because right away, if they see that you're amanerado, or if they see that you're going crazy, or you show emotion, they dismiss all your work.
Yeah.
Because they go ahead and focus directly on that. And it's something that I still practice, but there are times where, oof, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, it makes total sense. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like when there's a group of people of color together, mm-hmm. like at a restaurant mm-hmm. or at in a backyard, mm-hmm. we get loud.
Oh, yeah.
We get loud. Mm-hmm. We laugh. We cackle, bitch. Yes. We... And you know what that is? Yeah. We fucking cackle. And you know why? We need to decompress.
Absolutely.
We are holding in so much anger, so many fucking aggressions, microaggressions, whatever, throughout the entire day. Mm-hmm. When we get together with our families, when we get together with mm-hmm. our friends, next time you're at a fucking restaurant and you see a table of people of color and you're like, Jesus, they are so loud. Guess what, bitch? They've had to be quiet their whole fucking life. And now they're together sharing food. Mm-hmm. Let them decompress. Let them have fun. Let them be themselves. And that's what's I think that's what happens. Mm-hmm. Like when my family gets together, oh my God, we let it all out, right? Yeah. We have to, because then we have to go back to work the next day. Mm-hmm. Y nos quedamos callados. We have to be quiet, right?
You gotta be professional.
And again, yes, to all of our friends or even family members that are white, please understand that these are not attacks towards you. These are just our realities. These are not things that we get to reason with. We don't get, we don't have the privilege to just express ourselves or to be multifaceted. Our entire existence is to navigate the spaces that you as white people have built up.
Yeah.
That's just it. Negotiate, we have to negotiate. Yeah. Literally, yeah, down to our breath, because, you know, down to walking down the street, you know.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that it's something that that we have to always remember when we talked about in those terms. It's not like we're trying to, it's not like we're using the same tools that were used against us. Mm-hmm. That's not what's happening right here. It's just that, it's like you say, we are negotiating with a lot of these rules, a lot of these spaces, a lot of this, like limits that we have to negotiate all the time with. So it's very important, and we do have to be very careful about generalization. But as I say, si te queda el saco, póntelo. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés?
If the shoe fits,
put the bitch on and wear it.
All right. I think we just need to take a little break right now. And
yeah, I think so.
Maybe hear a word from one of our latest sponsors. So let's start the ad music right now.
Hi, this episode is brought to you by Tu Casa Mexicana, located at the fantastic indoor swap meet in Las Vegas, Nevada. Visit them on Instagram at Tu Casa Las Vegas or Tu Casa LV, and their website, tucasalv.com. They have handcrafted items from southern Mexico, specifically from Oaxaca. So if you need a little bit of black clay, alebrijes, wood figurines, tin art, they have everything, your one-stop shop. So make sure to, again, visit Tu Casa Mexicana at the fantastic indoor swap meet in Las Vegas, or once again, at tucasalv.com, also on an Etsy address, the same, Tu Casa LV.
And we're back.
Stupid. Those are the best.
So dumb. Okay. I'm so happy that you were able to put your mural back up and that it's done and that you can relax, because I knew it was like a thing, and I know they wanted to do like a ceremony and all this shit, and you're like, I just want this to be done.
We want to be done with it. You know, and the thing too is that while I was out there doing a little bit about that, I would see people that said, oh my God, I'm so happy this is back. I pass by this every day when I go to work. One of my favorite things, and yes, I'm a crybaby, so whatever. I saw these like multiple women in their hijabs, and they were very happy, and they were pointing at their hijabs and pointing at the mural, even though, and so it was really something, you know. Again, I'm not saying that the figure isn't a hijab, but again, the kind of cloak and the hood, the aspect of covering your head is something that's very poignant in the piece. So it's really nice just to see, again, all the community is able to kind of find some kind of connection to it. You know? So that, again, that was just one little moment that really stuck out for me that I was very happy about.
And for me, what's important is to hear your process. Because many times what a lot of people get to hear, it's a complaint, and they dismiss it right away.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're crying about this, then they tend to ignore it. However, when they get to hear our processes, when they get to hear where we're coming from, what happened, step one, step two, and this is how we arrived to it, I think that's when you really put things in a context, and there's much more validity to it. Not that we don't need to prove our ourselves to absolutely nobody, no. But it's always important to put that process out there for everybody to hear, to listen, and to learn from. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one more time, she's even more melanated. And her lips are more full. Don't worry about it.
Good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was such a process, and I'm just happy she's out there watching, taking care of the neighborhood again.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Can't stop us. Sorry.
Nope. Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Ay, Dios mío. So let's take a moment and talk a little bit about maybe other ways that cultural appropriation or cultural erasure is happening in our society today.
I have an example, and I wondered if it fits into this category. Okay. So if it doesn't fit, then you can take it away.
I'm not going to edit this, so.
Okay. I recently was in Juarez.
Uh-huh.
And I was with family. We already talked about that.
I know what you're going to talk about,
yes,
bitch.
Yes, bitch. I'm going there.
Go in.
So there is, when we recorded the episode about the Olympic Games, we talked about how there were programs for tourists where they get to go take tours of the favelas to, you know, to see how, you know, quote unquote, the other lives, right? Which I hate that word, but somehow everybody's using
the
it right
other?
Now. Yeah. Because, you know, admitting there's, anyway, I'm not going to get into it.
2043.
Yes. Okay.
Can't wait till the other is white.
Yeah. It already is in the world, but anyway.
I know.
Okay. So that really struck a chord because I keep thinking about it. How messed up is this? And now there's a sense of gentrification in the favelas, yet people can still visit the quote-unquote authentic poverty of Rio, you know? Mm-hmm. Horrible. So fast forward to my weekend in Juarez a couple weeks ago, and my friends and family are like, oh, we should take the safari tour. I'm like, what is that? Yes,
in safari.
What?
It's called safari.
Okay.
And in this tour, you're supposed to you take a bus, and these actors, which are professional actors, they take you to different homes of in marginalized neighborhoods. You go inside that house,
and they
reenact their story, but they use the story of the people that live there as a way to, like, it's like the base of a play.
Sensationalizing people's poverty.
So you go from one house.
They're using their houses as a set.
So the hood basically becomes the escenografía. I don't know how to say that. Escenografía of the play.
Wow.
And that's what happens. And I think I was reading one article, and I put a link to the article on, it's in Spanish, but I put a link to the article and said, oh, it's a way to not exoticize or something like that. The other, because the actor mentioned it like that, like, oh,
excuse
there's
me?
More of, yeah.
But you're on a bus.
They're calling it a safari.
And they're calling it the other. Like right away, you're admitting that you're the one and they're the other. And you're saying that you are trying to teach people about how these people are not delinquentes, they're not criminals, this and that. So it's like, if you are serving an audience that thinks that it has to change their mind about that, but that's where the problem is. And second, the most exactly what you mentioned, Justin, a safari, really, are these neighborhoods, the exhibitions of animals? Like, it's so, so messed up in so many different ways.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it was very infuriating. And I'm very surprised, though, right now with everything that is happening, that there is not really more articles talking about it. Yeah, the project is called Project Safari, and the actor, the main actor that carries it, is Daniel Jimenez Cacho.
Gotcha, boo.
And he is really a famous actor. So because he has that green flag that he is the artist, somehow he has the freedom to do this. But I need somebody that has access to some fancy newspaper to denounce these fools.
I don't know. Something
to just
about,
make them
it's,
stop.
It's not right.
And not only that, it happened already in a place in Europe. They started this project in Europe. They did it twice in Tepito in Mexico City, where, again, the people in the nice neighborhoods pay money, and then they go to Tepito, and then they learn about the real struggles from the poor. Like, it's so fucking messed up and I'm over it. So I don't want to hear anything about Safari and I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. Whenever it comes to anything like that where, you know, you give people like the kind of inside look into any group's poverty, usually it's like the people watching this, you know that there's injustice, but you don't say anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you already know that these things are going on, but now you want to get even closer. But like on your everyday life, you never make it a point to try and help or fight against these things. So I just think it's really sick.
And it's exploited too, because let's say that all the money from this project goes directly to the families.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the actor is going to move back to his fancy Mexico City apartment, assuming he lives there. And he's going to have something else in his resume. And these people, what? They got money for groceries one day. What else? You know, you're not changing anybody's mind because the people that you're changing the mind of are the people that that don't matter, you know, that they're not going to do anything about it. So what is the point of something like that? It really makes me super, super angry and that is happening in my city.
In a way, it romanticizes the poverty and it makes it into this. Yeah,
it's exotic.
Yeah, it exoticizes it instead of really facing what's going on.
Think of somebody from El Paso who already doesn't want to cross the border of Juarez because it's so violent. Mm-hmm. And then they use that vehicle to try to change their mind. And it's already another tool of creating difference. You know what makes me, speaking about erasure and all of this and themes? When people said, oh, we're going to give the voice to the other, or we're going to give them voice to the people that don't have voice. Bitch, everybody has a voice. You know, the fact that your system has not allowed them to fucking talk, that's something different, you know?
True. Yeah.
Oh, oof, oof. Anyway.
Well, something that's always popping up still to this day is cultural appropriation. Especially when it comes to black people.
Lord.
And since we have a black person on the show today, let's get into it so that
okay, because, well, look, first thing I'm going to say.
Wait.
Okay, pause. You know, pause real quick
cuz I know you know about this girl, Marc Jacobs.
Oh yeah, Miss Thing and her dreadlocks.
Okay, Marc Jacobs just did a fashion show and all these white girls had dreadlocks. White people, I think I might have already said this on a podcast. You need to stop.
Yeah.
Stop with the dreadlocks already, okay?
Yeah.
Just don't do it. There's nothing worse than a white person with dreadlocks.
Amen. But hey, look. But the thing that's really funny, the real gag is that recently a federal appeals court has just deemed it legal for companies to discriminate against potential employees if they have dreadlocks.
No.
Oh, yeah. In the real world, for the everyday.
Okay.
So when you think of people mainly who have dreadlocks, you think of people of color, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But look, you know, again, devil's in the details. They thought it'd be cute to say that it was a race-neutral grooming policy. So it doesn't matter if you're black or white and have dreads, it's just wrong.
My God.
Hopefully it's not a...
But when it comes to
it's
Coachella...
It's not ABC Disney, because Whoopi Goldberg wouldn't have a job.
Exactly.
Damn. Yeah.
That's insane.
You know, that is crazy.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing about it. Okay, so let's get on that. Okay, I am a strong believer that white people love black culture, but they do not give a fuck about black people. There, I said it. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
So when you think of anything like trends that are hyped by mainstream media that have always been something we've done and oftentimes been looked down for.
Yeah.
You know, like recently I saw a lure given tutorials for white girls to get afros. But I'm going to find it. We should put it in the links.
Yes.
But yet still, they send home our children, our black and brown children who have with our natural hair because they say it's a distraction.
Not allowing them to go to prom.
No, all kinds of
Okay, and that's one of the statements that Marc Jacobs said is like, well, we get upset. You guys get upset when white people have dreads. I'm just paraphrasing. I don't know what exact statement was. What about when black women straighten their hair?
Oh, yes.
We don't call that racial appropriation. Excuse me? Mm. Why do black women wear weave or straighten their hair? It's to make white people comfortable so that they don't have to think about black people's hair. But there's a whole...
And you're it's assimilation, complete, if anything.
Not it's only completely that, different.
But there's everything. There's people of color with straight hair. And it's not and not only white people wear straight hair. Like, there's so many other races that have straight hair.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Oh, that's so stupid.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this. But when I think of, like, assimilation, like when a group adopts a certain behavior that can be coded as white or normal, because white is normal. And if it's in order to gain wealth, employment, or other benefits, it's not appropriation. That's trying to survive.
Yeah.
You know, when you have to think the way, again, that we have to navigate our literal physical and mental bodies in order to just survive, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not wearing your hair natural, you know what I mean? Not speaking Spanish to your other Spanish-speaking friends in front of white people for the sake that makes them uncomfortable.
Oh, that happened to me once in high school.
Girl.
Yeah.
I just told my professor off in Spanish. I was like, ¿de qué chingados está hablando? And, and she just looked at me and she was quiet.
Well, some first-generation Mexicans in the States don't teach their kids Spanish because they want them to assimilate. Not like, assimilate. I have a couple friends like that. Like, they said, no, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say
say it.
Con el nopal en la frente, pero no pueden hablar español. Like, they don't, they look hella Mexican, but they cannot speak Spanish, you know?
Yeah, and it's a reality. Like, I think anybody that has this here first, second generation can name a member of their family because of that, but it's a form of survival. And what's hard for me to understand, to that I see it with my nephews, for example, that everything they learn in school, from saluting to the flag, this and that, they're trying to tell them that they should be something that in many times they're not, you know? Like, they, like, my, I think of my nephews as being from our region. Like, they're Mexican before they're anything else. Yet when they come home, they don't think of themselves like that at all. They have, and just because they spend a couple more hours in school that they spend with us. And that's just crazy, you know what I mean? And now, and that's how they grow up. And it's, I don't know. It's
They're trying to erase us every day. And that's something that we need to be, that's why I think it's so important for us to be the authorities on our own cultures.
Yeah, and our own voices.
And our own voices. Because when you have the Rachel Dolezals out there, when you have...
Come on.
Sorry, when you have the Rick Baylesses out there, you know what I mean? It's like, we need people that come, that are actually from the culture as the authority, because usually it's a white person that becomes the authority in this country.
Absolutely.
And that is not right.
In many ways, just us being able to tell our own stories.
Exactly.
And it's not just about hiring people of color just to appease us, but it's actually being able to allow for those people to tell their own stories.
Which is what happens in media all the time. They want to celebrate diversity when the reality is that the way that they approach diversity, because they don't hire people of color in the casting, in the writing, what you end up seeing is just highlighting difference.
And I'm not going to name any names, but there are a few, you know, there's all these Latino, Hispanic, brown YouTube channels, networks popping up that cater specifically to us, right?
But who produces them?
But who produces them? Who's writing the checks? And then when does it become them exploiting our own culture instead of celebrating it or educating people on it? You know what I mean? Like, that's that's a fine line that we kind of talked about in a previous episode.
Yes.
But it's like, I see some stuff and I can't watch it.
I feel visibility, like, versus
I was like, oh, okay, somebody, whoever's in charge here is some, that people need to start getting checked.
It's tomfoolery. And it's just like, you know, when you see, you know, someone kind of shucking and jiving on TV, if you're a person of color, hence the reason why, Tyler Perry, I can't stand you. That's on everything I love. Okay. And I'm ending it at that, but no, I'm sorry. I can't stand it. But there's a fine line when we are represented, but then we're only described as our tropes.
Yeah.
Black person, loud, aggressive, Latino woman, busty, spicy. Even the terms they use to describe us, like we have to be actively.
But
like,
we do it to
ourselves.
Come
on, Sofia.
Sofia Vergara.
No. But we do it to ourselves.
We do it to ourselves. I've seen a few podcasts, Latino podcasts, like, this podcast is a little spicy. Like, oh no.
It's pandering. Yeah. It's pandering, but sometimes it's survival. That's the whole thing.
Absolutely.
It's a catch 22.
Yeah.
Are you authentic?
Yeah.
Because when you're too authentic, they don't want to hear it.
But what the fuck is authentic?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen, so, sisters.
Please, we just went to a music festival. Lance was
oh
there too.
My God. Please
girl,
don't get me started.
Girl.
Okay, so look.
Girl.
Look. I felt like every time I saw a white girl with box braids, Maya Angelou died again.
Oh.
Every single time. And I mean it. It was like she came back to life and then died one more time as soon as she saw us.
She just had a like she had a gasp for air, like
they went back. No, I'm sorry. It was atrocious.
Oh,
and you know,
my
and the
God.
Thing about these I just never seen so many white women with braids. And, you know, and for me, yeah.
Bitch, you know what? Okay.
What?
So since I was an artist in the festival,
mm-hmm.
we talked about this a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
I got to go to the VIP section.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? Like, there was free drinks. There was, like, arcade games. And there was a section in the VIP tent where they were braiding people's hair.
Oh, my mama. On everything I love. I cannot... Oh my God! I'm sorry. And what? And let's get to the tea of it, bitch. Because I was like, I'm gonna go with you. And when God forbid I would have saw that, I don't even know what I would have done.
No,
if I had saw that,
I literally looked at it and I could not process what was happening. I just turned around and went for the drinks.
And then the braids were so bad too. Todas greñadas, güey.
Yeah, but okay. So. Typical stuff. People wearing headdresses.
Yes.
People wearing
dashikis.
People wearing
dashikis
and all kinds of African garb. And you know what? I couldn't hold my tongue. I had to ask a couple of them. I'm like, why are you wearing this? And one of their responses was, well, it's my favorite thing to party in. Yeah. I just walked away because there was nothing I could do. There was nothing
no
I could do.
And that's what happens when that's what we're reduced to. There was a kid wearing a taco head pinata.
Oh my God.
Did you see him wearing a taco pinata as a hat?
Don't.
And then he was Mexican. I don't know. And
still.
And he was wearing a poncho.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I just see
give me a stick. Let me fucking bash that.
And it's just like, again, all these things that we are made fun of and things that are quote unquote seen as ghetto. Oh, but now, bitch, it's life is beautiful and you think you're fucking Janet Jackson from Poetic Justice. No, you're not. You look like a goddamn fool and you need to cut it out. Because like how many times on everything I love, I know that when they were kids and there may have been some little black girl with her box braids in and that. They were probably told they were ghetto for it. And now you think just because, you know, Kylie and Kim and whoever, who else, Katie, all your faves, problematic as fuck, are wearing braids. Or you think it's cute. And it's like you want all of the kind of edginess, but without any of the pain that comes with it.
Exactly.
A lot of the things we do are out of necessity. Again, necessity, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
For sure.
You know, like, yeah, shit, maybe you can't afford all those hair care products. So yeah, or those styles are protective to protect our hair, braids and such, dreads and such, you know. But regardless,
irregardless.
Yeah, it was really hard for me. I'm not gonna lie. I just had to like kind of block it out. Yeah,
You really did black it out for a second there.
I'm done.
Okay.
No, I'm not done.
Okay. You got something else
Let's
to say?
Let's talk about some... Final
words here.
I just want to... Yeah, white actors.
playing, let's get into this.
Or shit, even Afro-Latina actors, a.k.a. Zoe Saldana and Nina.
Oh, God.
Let me just give
that up. Was an atrocity.
It was
for
absolutely disgusting.
Have you seen it?
I saw the promo, and that's all I needed to see. She had a prosthetic nose.
Prosthetic nose and basically a black face. They gave her kinky hair extensions to make her more authentic.
No.
Gross. Oh, and sorry. Yeah, you know, shout out to Christy Lee. Tilda Swinton, you know, playing a Tibetan monk. And it's like, there's nobody?
Who?
Tilda Swinton in Doctor Strange.
I don't know
She's playing a Tibetan monk.
It happens all the time in Hollywood. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch. I have a whole list, but I guess we'll keep it short.
We're out of time, but thank you, Lance, for coming and sharing your story with us, because it's important that we talk about it. And, you know, a lot of times this shit is like swept under the rug, you know,
yeah,
and
that's not
right. And, you know, we like to do recommendations at the end of the podcast. If you have any picks or something that you've listened to recently, something that you've read, we like to share it here on this podcast. So, Pablito, do you have anything?
Yes. I don't know when this is coming out, but Café Tacuba.
Okay. Oh, they have a new album.
They have a new album. I'm assuming by now there will be a new album. There's a new song called Un Par de Lugares, and the song, it's about, you know, where you need to find the strength mm-hmm. in certain places. Mm-hmm. You always go to that place, mm-hmm. like that zen.
Yeah.
And it can be home. It mm-hmm. can be, we talked about it in the entire, in the episode. It can be a gay club, for example. Yeah. So they talk about this in the song, but Café Tacuba for me is, they're my Beatles. So I'm going to oversell this every fucking opportunity I have. So download, if the album is out right now, just run for it. They're the best band in the world. Es, ya he dicho,
caso cerrado. Oh, nice. One of my favorite podcasts is back, and I'm so happy that it's back. It's called About Race, and those motherfuckers on there are on point educated. Look it up. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast. The podcast is called About Race, and they get into it every week.
Sweet.
Very smart. Very great, very good podcast. Mm-hmm. When I found it, I went back years and listened to their other seasons or whatever. It's great.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me right now, for Color Nerds is another podcast I really enjoy.
Yes. Yeah, I just want to tell you, the reason why we do this podcast mm-hmm. is because for Color Nerds.
That's
right. When I listened to For Color Nerds, I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. This is what we need to do.
This is, because you know, the Read has always been there, but
no shade to the Read.
No shade to the Read. No. Because of For Color Nerds, mm-hmm. we're doing this show.
Yes.
Because when I listen to the Read, I'm like, we're not as funny as Crystal and Kid Fury. Yeah. Like, we can't be the Read. The Read is its own
those
thing.
Those two holes are too funny.
But when I listen to Brittany Luce and ¿cómo se llama? Eric on For Color Nerds, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, these guys.
Yeah,
are,
I remember listening. To
these
like,
guys
this
are fucking
it.
Nerds. Yes. They know what they got their specialty, and I'm like, me and Pablito can totally do this. Yes. Like, he's got his art history.
For Latinos.
I got my art stuff. Like, we can do this for Latinos. So, sorry.
The Stevie Wonder episode.
Have you?
It's
girl.
Glorious.
It really
it's
is.
It's so good. It's
yeah,
so good.
Stevie Wonder is one of
so
my favorite.
So what was the, say the name of the podcast
again? For Colored Nerds.
F-O-R, Colored Nerds.
I know the name seems a little extra, but it's fantastic. It's informed. It's smart. It talks about all the layers, not all of them, but a lot of the layers of blackness that oftentimes you don't get to talk about. You know what I mean? Oh, I really like the episode about Michelle Obama. That's a real...
Shelley.
Oh my God, so good.
I need to listen I to love, that. I'm girl, so behind get in my on podcast. It.
Yeah,
yes.
But if you're looking to just kind of diversify, you're just looking for something else for people of color, you know, it's really good.
Big shout out to Brittany Luce, because she's also... does one of my other favorite podcasts called Sampler.
Oh,
it's
yes.
a sampling of other podcasts. It's for Gimlet Media, which is, mm-hmm. they're also really great. But this is what happens when you hire a person of color
mm-hmm.
to be the host of a show.
Yeah.
A lot of the shows that on Sampler have been based on being black, right? And that would have never happened
mm-hmm.
if it was a white host on that show.
True.
So many great episodes. Mm-hmm. You need to listen to the last episode. I forgot to call you and tell you because they talk about one of the fucking best moments in TV history. When Whitney Houston played the fairy godmother.
Impossible. It's possible.
And Brandy played Cinderella. That was on the last episode. This episode's going to air months, like in a month or something. But
yeah.
But go back and listen to that
one. I'll probably
one.
Cry because that's a pretty it's major so moment good. In history.
Yeah.
For me. Okay.
That's so cool. Lance, we love you.
Thank you,
I love
Lance.
You all too. Awesome. Thanks for letting me ramble
Where
at
can
you.
People find you, Lance?
Oh, you can find me at LanceLSmith.com. Again, that's LanceLSmith.com. Social media, Twitter, Lance Smith Art. You can find me acting a damn fool. and then...
And you have a show coming up?
I do
up.
Have a show coming up in January at the Winchester Cultural Center. January, Winchester Cultural Center. That would be nice to see everyone there. I have dates on my website.
Awesome. I'm Favy Fav. You can find me at FavyFav.
And I'm Babelito on Instagram because I'm fucking lazy.
And yeah, he's only on Instagram. So sorry to the Babelito on Twitter because it's not him. And
there's a Babelito on Twitter.
Yeah, that's you need stupid. To you need to call him and get him. I mean, you need to message him and get that thing. Anyway, we can talk about it after. We are Latinos Who Lunch at Latinos Who Lunch on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We are at latinoswholunch.com. You can email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com if you have any questions or if you have any concerns or
please
comments.
Please send us
Please go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars.
Only
that's right.
Five stars.
And please leave a review. We love to read your reviews. And maybe if it's, we might even read your reviews on our listener letter episode. So, yes, remember, go to iTunes, subscribe, review. And thank you for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
Ciao.
Bye. Babies. Be good. I love you.
Yeah, you know I play the song. You don't have to sing it.
Whoa. Well, it sings beautifully. So I don't care.
She's mad.